Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com. RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. My name is Will Kuntz. Anna Hummel's here next to me. This is a, if you missed the live stream, this is a feature of that, a show that is live now on YouTube. You can get it, and I'd encourage you to do so. Just search HMB Radio, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, in your search bar there, in YouTube, the search button thing there. What's that called? Search field on YouTube? And you could get that. So we had this one was kind of weird because I had a new computer that my work gave me, my day job gave me in order to continue to work from home now. That's what I'm doing now. It's great. Love it. But everything's in a cloud, and I guess the computer had to download some things from the cloud. So the internet was not great for this episode. Thank God I recorded the audio on the Adobe when I was streaming it, because I don't know how good the audio would have been otherwise. So yes, I did do that. So smart. So smart. And this is a replay from that show there. It doesn't look great. Looks like we're underwater. But I think the audio is okay. If you want to go watch it, go to YouTube or HMB Radio Facebook. Like those pages. Click the alert buttons. Make sure you keep up with what we're doing, where we're at, what time the shows are. Anywhere between 5 and 6 p.m. on Wednesday typically is when we do that program. So hope you'll join us for the next one. We'll interact with you in the chat and take questions. And I'm going to attempt to maybe even take phone calls live next week. So we'll see, 5 to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. Click the alert buttons, and let's have fun together in a not sexual way. I mean, you can do that, right? I think that's a thing. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at home_made_man. Anna's on a Hummel radio, but she's still staying strong. No social media. So I had to guilt her into tweeting out this podcast, as a matter of fact. So thank you, Anna, for doing that. I'm sure she's acknowledging that right now. And you can get in touch with the show, too, 813-693-2124 and hmbradio.com. There's a sign-up list to join an email list that I put out maybe two emails a year. So it's only important stuff and really important things I want you to know, because you get a lot of emails. So if you want two emails a year from me, put your email in that box down there on the hmbradio.com homepage, and you'll get those. When they'll come, I don't know. When something good happens, hopefully soon. I don't know. Okay, let's just get into it. Let's get into the show. Enjoy. Thank you. Anna, how are you?
I'm well. I'm good. It seems like a year ago that I had a stalker. That's now old news.
All gone, huh?
Yeah, old news. New news is things are going pretty smoothly. You know, of course, there's always a little bit drama here and there at work, whatnot. You know, maybe some collectors are coming by. Maybe there's some people to avoid. But as of right now, and by right now, I mean literally right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now, things are going really well.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's all you can ask for, really. I was feeling pretty good up until today, when it was bad.
Yeah, you kind of told me about it privately, so we can leave it privately. I think that's probably where it should live.
Probably for the time being. But the rage that's inside of me is going to emerge someday, and I just pray that...
you don't burn down the building?
Yeah.
Wilson style?
I pray that it doesn't lead to an insane amount of violence.
Okay. Well, I pray too as well.
Yes, thank you. Number one, my week was going great because I was having dinner on Sunday night and I got a few text messages while I was sitting at the table. And one of them was from you and one of them was from Tim Koontz, my father.
Can you give me the difference of time? How much did your father beat me by?
It was in the same hour, within the hour.
Within the hour?
Yeah.
I was always hoping you were going to say within 90 seconds.
No, it wasn't quite. He beat you by a considerable amount of time. The news was that I heard from both of you, and I found it ironic because you don't care about sports at all. Tim, my father, has a passive interest. He knows what the Bucks are.
Okay.
He knows who Tom Brady is.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, I think watched some games last year and the season before when Tom Brady was here because he knew it was kind of, I told him, like, this is a special thing that we have the best quarterback of all time playing for a football team. And like I said, he's kind of got a passive interest. So he goes, okay, I'll check it out. And so I get a text message from him and then you, and he goes, did you hear Tom Brady's coming back to play football? And I open the phone and I go, no, you moron. That can't be true. He's retired. And it's funny because earlier in the day, Tom Brady was at a soccer game somewhere in England. I don't know soccer stuff at all. I feel like
football
is with you. Yeah, I'm with football as you are to the Buccaneers. And he's with some soccer guy. And I know it's a famous guy because I've seen him before. He's very handsome.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Maybe. I don't know.
That would be the one.
Okay. I'll go with that. And So I'm watching a video of Brady and Ronaldo, and the guy goes, so you're done or what? It's like a Twitter post type of thing. Not that somebody's taking. It's kind of like off to the side, like
it's
somebody
not
in
a
the
meme.
Press.
It's
not like Tom Brady's Instagram or something where he's asking him a question and the audio is really good. It's somebody from the press that is...
Oh, but it's an actual audio.
It's not like a meme. But you can't really hear it, but you can make out the soccer player say, so you're done, huh? And then Brady, he says something and he kind of does this, that type of thing. Like, I don't know.
And that was earlier on Sunday.
It was earlier that day. And I got to the point where I was like, all right, enough. I'm tired of this guy. Screw you. I was mad because I'm like, you're not coming back. You're retired. I know what you're doing. You want to stay, you know,
relevant in
the media right now. You have a brand that you're just launching. Like, I get what you're doing, but...
So wait, you saw this earlier Sunday.
Yeah.
online.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was there a buzz that he would come back, or?
There's been a buzz. People have been talking about it, that he was going to end up with the 49ers, that there was some sort of fallout with the coaching staff of the Buccaneers and him. And
seems like the 4chan of sports, yeah. Like all these conspiracy theories.
Very much so, yeah. So the deal was that they thought that he wanted to come back and play, but he wanted to go back to the San Francisco 49ers, his hometown team, and finish his career with them, which is a lot.
He's
because
from San Francisco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's from the California Bay Area, yeah. And, you know, there's some issues with that. Is number one, even though he's the greatest quarterback of all time, you have to learn a whole new system. You have to learn the new language that the, you know, coach uses.
New culture.
New culture. Yeah, it's tough to go in there for like a year or two and you know, well, I mean, Tom Brady did it here. But so, and potentially you could do it there too. But it's a tough thing to do. And not only that, it just seemed unlikely that that was going to happen. I didn't think he was coming back at all. People were hinting about it. I figured he's done. You know, he won a Super Bowl here. He's got his family now. It sounded like he retired. He said, "I'm retired. I'm done."
I don't think he ever said, "I'm retired."
He did. Yeah.
I think he made a post insinuating that he was done.
No, he made.
But did he say the words, "I am retired"?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of conjecture on the program that I'm on that he never said that.
Yes.
The sports guys were saying he never said he was retired. He's thanked people as if he were, but he never said, "I'm done." But he did seem to, you know, reference retirement, but never say it.
Well, he did. He said, I'm retired. He said it on his podcast with Jim Gray. Mm. And now... Then there was, so you know the story that one of the NFL insider guys, ESPN guys, broke the news that he was going to retire, and it was like a guy that doesn't mess up, and he said, like, Tom Brady will retire, you know, at the end of his 22nd season. So there
when
was.
When did he call that?
It was a few days before he made his official announcement that he was retiring, and so there was some, like, conjecture there that maybe. And I think his dad, Tom Brady's dad, even said this, that the media kind of forced him to do this, like forced him into retirement. And I don't know. I think he just didn't know how to retire. He was like, okay, I'll retire now. He's been doing this his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, he spent more years in the NFL than not, I think.
Yeah,
or they said this upcoming year will be, it will be more than half of his life he's been in the league.
And then you're playing football too, you know, when you're a kid.
Yeah.
He's playing since he was a little kid, so. It's just, it's something he's always done. And then I think he retired and went, uh-oh, I don't think I want to retire. I'm used to, because he's a creature of habit too. He stays in shape with his exercise,
yeah.
And he likes to keep his routine and whatever, whatever. So I think he was like, uh-oh, I don't think I want to retire.
I know this is going to surprise you. I not only, I felt like was one of the first to know because I get notifications on my phone. But I've also been reading up, like, editorial, like, opinion pieces on why he's coming back. Because I find this stuff interesting, right? He's playing with everyone's heartstrings. He makes this big announcement. He's retiring. And then 40 days later, just kidding, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
My whole thing, and I was talking to Bubba about this, it's like you look at people, you could say, like, Bubba the Love Sponge, or people like, you know, I also referenced Dr. Dan Diaco, where they're... occupation is so wrapped up in their personal identity that they cannot separate the two. Like, who is Bubba the Love Sponge if he's not the radio personality? Who is Dr. Dan Diaco if he's not the plastic surgeon? Like, these are things that they've both been doing for 30 plus years now, and it's really when you get that wrapped up in with your identity and what you do are essentially merged, you don't know who you are. Like, who is Tom Brady if he's not playing football?
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Right.
So I think that maybe spooked him. Obviously, we made some jokes about how Giselle was like, get the hell out of the house. You're driving me crazy. But I think it's probably more of the former where he just didn't realize what retirement would entail. And much like you said, he is not only a creature of habit, but I think he enjoys striving for excellence. And it gives him purpose. It gives him fulfillment to look forward to a game, to improve, to play the game, to win, to even have a loss so that he can have enough motivation to win again. And if he doesn't have that, I feel like he's old for the NFL, but he's not an old person.
No.
44, no. Right? Got to be 45 this year. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he just wants to keep striving because that's what gives him fulfillment in that in his life. It makes him feel like he has value.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, and I think it is a creature of habit thing. He just doesn't know how to act if he doesn't have this game. So he's back, just like that. I was expecting, you know, there was this quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who they were looking like they were going to try to get, and it was a lot of draft capital for the NFL draft for future years. And he's also got some pretty heinous allegations against him. But the grand jury decided not to press criminal charges against him, so I felt better about him coming here. And I was like, okay, I mean, he's really good, you know? So, I mean, he's not Tom Brady, but he's really good, and he might be here for a long time. That's our new guy. That would be great. And it was such a sense of elation that I felt when I got the news, and I double-checked it, and sure enough, he's coming back to play. And it was seriously like a girl that I loved. And this is the closest that I can compare it to. It's not a one-for-one comparison, but it's close. And she broke up with me, and it hurt so bad.
But then you did 30 days no contact.
Yeah,
like
no contact.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
And she came back, just like they said that she would.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was like, and that's the first time that's ever happened, by the way.
Yeah. So wait, so when I texted you, you already knew the news.
I knew,
okay, because the way you responded made me feel like I had broken the news to you, and that made me feel really good.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, like, I don't really care about sports. Tom Brady transcends sports. He's a pop culture icon, American hero, some would say.
Yeah.
And I think especially when we're all going through, almost said the S word, we're going through stuff, shiz with a Z, like COVID, like World War III, something like this is a beautiful distraction. So I was really excited. And I was also excited because when I found out, you were like the first person that came to mind. Because you had told me that you had disclosed how heartbroken you had been when you found out he was retiring. And I wanted to be the person that was going to reverse that heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And well, let you know that girl's back. She's back, and she wants you back.
I appreciate it. And it was seriously like my jaw dropped, and I was like in a really good mood.
Yeah.
After that, I went out and celebrated. I had to take an Uber home. I celebrated so much that night.
Wow.
By the way, you know how much an Uber is?
Insane.
Oh my God. I mean,
I can only imagine
shocked.
Because of gas prices.
I remember it being expensive even before this, but I went to go put on my Uber app, and I remember when Uber first came out, you could get downtown for $5.
From where you are, yeah.
Yeah, close. But it's not much more than that from where you were. But then
it depends on, but yeah, you could probably on like an off day, say not Saturday night, but you could probably get downtown from my house about, I would say, a little less than $16.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
That's fair.
I think that's fair. Absolutely. So I went to, I was kind of not very far away from here, less than 5 miles. And it's telling me it's $22 to get home for 5 miles. What? And
it
was a Sunday night. Yeah. And I wasn't even, you know, there was a lot of drivers on the road and everything, but gas is expensive. And I guess that's just the way it is now. And, so I got picked up and I actually found a promo code through Lyft. Thank God I had a promo
code. How much
did
you save?
It was $9.
You saved $9.
I saved a lot. Yeah. Almost more than half on the ride. But it was shocking how, like I said, when it first came about, when it was just you and the driver and the app, you know, they would take their cut and then the rest of the money, I think it was a small percentage that they would. But then once the success started to come, then people were getting like, you know, murdered in Ubers and, you know, sexually assaulted in Ubers and car accidents with no insurance in Ubers. So then all these other things had to happen, and Uber doesn't just eat that cost. I mean, they pass it on to the consumer. So now it's hardly, I think a DUI is cheaper.
More affordable.
Yeah. Because that's nuts. I mean, I don't know how people, luckily I don't go out anymore, but do you remember the Zoom or the surge pricing they used to have?
Mm-hmm.
So one time I was thinking about this the other day, I pay my daytime boss's bills for him. And one of them is an American Express card that comes to me, and I have to itemize everything and then, you know, pay it. So there was a charge. He went to a Lightning playoff game years ago now. I think they stopped this because it was like too insane. Like kids were getting thousands of dollars charges to get home, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know you're all drunk. You know, you don't know that you're, you know, what you're, what you're doing. So it was, I think the ride to Amelie from his house on the beach was 50 something bucks to get there. You go, that's a lot, but that's fair. And then on the way back, he had a charge for $743 that he got hit for the surge pricing and was drinking. So he was just like, oh, I got to get home. What am I supposed to do? So I think they stopped the surge pricing thing because it was a racket, truly.
Yeah, that's
insane. It's the free market, but also if you're drunk, you can't really consent, you know, to this. If you're just like, I have to get home, I don't, whatever, I'll deal with it tomorrow. And right. Then you open your bank account and you go, oh my God, I should have slept in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so called someone to come pick you up.
That's the last thing I would think to do now, which is crazy.
I mean, I hate inconveniencing people, trust me. Mm-hmm. But if I have to pay $740 to get home, it's not I'll have to wake you up. I'd rather have you be mad at me or annoyed. That's free, at least.
Yeah, I feel like I used to get annoyed when people would ask me to take them to the airport. Because I'm like, just call an Uber. That's what Ubers are for.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, you know, if it's like 50, 60 bucks to get to the airport, yeah, okay, I'll just take you.
Yeah.
No big deal. I don't mind now. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how that's changed. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. You still have social media, right?
I am completely off. I do go on Instagram just for the Bubba Army Instagram. Mm-hmm. But again, that doesn't captivate my attention like my personal account does. So I'll just post something and then I'm out. But I have been off of social media for 6 weeks now.
Congratulations.
I'm telling you. And this isn't like it's not like I found Christ and I'm trying to get other people on board. I don't care what anybody else does. But if anybody is listening on social media, I'm telling you, the break has been incredible. Remember how I was telling you I was trying to restore my attention span?
Mm-hmm.
It's back.
Back and tired.
I can like read an article without feeling gripped by my phone to check it. I can watch a movie without feeling gripped by my phone to check it. I forgot to check my phone until about 8 a.m. this morning. And I wake up at 4:45. And I probably for like the last hour before I went to bed, I didn't look at it. So I hadn't seen my phone for like 12 hours. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably check if someone texted me. No one did, but I mean, that's amazing that I didn't wake up and was like, oh, I got to check my phone. Yeah. When you start forgetting to check your phone, like, oh, maybe I should see if someone is trying to get in contact with me. Like, I feel so liberated. And I feel like I'm living a less performative life despite being an entertainer somewhat. I don't feel like I'm doing something cool. And my first thought used to be, wow, this would be great for Instagram, or wow, this would be a cool post, or wow, my friends would like to see this, or wow, I'd like to show off that I got my second stripe for jiu-jitsu, which I did.
Congratulations.
But, thank you. But nevertheless, now it's like I have to validate myself and what the fun I'm having. And actually, I know this is a crazy thought and idea, but living in the moment and just taking it all in instead of taking it all in through a screen, you know, wanting to capture the magic that you can't recreate. Because being at a concert and taking a video at a concert, like, you're not even in the same universe in terms of the experience that you're trying to replicate. You know, being at your favorite concert and then showing your friend, it's like, this sucks. I don't want to see this at all. So it's restored my attention span, and my anxiety is way down. And I'm comparing myself less to people, obviously, because there's less to compare to. And most people just think it's like a looks thing, especially with women. They're like, oh, you just think that you're ugly and fat and whatever. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, not completely. It's mostly with me about like accomplishments and where I should be in life, and seeing a friend have a kid or get married, or seeing a friend have buy a house or something, or get a new car, or their business is thriving and I'm, you know, where I am. And then I immediately feel bad about myself. That was constantly happening on a daily basis without me even really realizing it.
Yeah, I feel it. Well, it sucks because you don't tweet out this podcast. But
oh, I mean, if you ask me to, I will. Like, you reminded me before, and I did.
Okay,
I'm sorry. No, that's fine.
But I was just gonna say I'm on there, and I care what you think. Yeah. Not really, but kind of. Home_made_man Instagram and Twitter. I would like to, and you're on Animal Radio. If you want to follow Anna, maybe she'll be back someday.
Not on Instagram, but Twitter. I'll check every now and again.
Not on. Oh, okay.
Twitter. Yeah. Remind me next time because I'm so not thinking about that.
Okay.
But I will retweet.
No problem. I wanted to talk to you about this because you actually introduced me to this woman.
It's nice of you to call her that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's something special. I'll tell you. I
love her.
She's great. She is great. Her name is Tess Holliday. She's a BBW
supermodel.
Supermodel. Supermodel, and she is...
She's graced, like, the cover of Cosmo and stuff. She's, mm-hmm. like, the first plus-size model they've had in, like, Vogue, and she's breaking more than boundaries, but she's also breaking boundaries.
She's breaking chairs.
She's breaking chairs. She's breaking sleeves.
She's very large.
Yeah.
You know, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm certainly no slim Sally.
No,
you know?
But with Tess, it's you're in a different stratosphere.
Different, man. Different.
You know, there's just people who aren't concerned about keeping trim, and then there are people who are trying to kill themselves. And she's really in that latter category.
Yeah. Well, how did you find her? And what was her first controversy that she had? Because she's good at getting attention.
She is good at getting attention. I found out about her because of Steven Crowder.
Okay.
Steven Crowder, if you don't know who he is, he's a conservative talk show host, has a massive podcast and following, and he's very funny. He used to do stand-up. Maybe still does. He did a bit maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, and it was hilarious. He was talking about Tess Holliday and how she was saying, you know, all this body positivity stuff, everybody's beautiful.
Okay, so that was her thing, body
yes,
positivity.
And
okay.
He just tore her a new BH, and he had so many, like, good lines in there, and then I was like, I got to find out who this woman is. And I found out, then I was introduced to Tess Holliday, and I went, wow, this is a real person that exists. Amazing.
So her thing was, you're sexy at any size.
Yes.
You know, okay. Which, I mean, she is a good-looking woman. I will say that.
Are you saying
her.
That frivolously or?
No, I'm saying that not facetiously.
Facetious,
either.
Thank you.
No, she's a good looking lady, and but she's very, very, I mean, morbidly, it's above morbid, morbidly obese.
I think
she's
is it called super morbid? Something
like
that.
Okay. Yeah, something like that. So I saw this and I thought of you, and I was actually shocked because you said you didn't know it. So some news about Tess Holliday is that she's anorexic. She's been diagnosed with anorexia. She's a house, literally the size of a house, but yes. She's anorexic.
And that's not the first time she's come out and said that, and everyone has, you know, laughed and rolled their eyes. But
it's
let's
so,
see what she has to say.
This clown world that we live in, I mean, clearly everybody has eyeballs.
Yes. She also has a tattoo of Miss Piggy on her arm. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but yep. That's cool.
Fitting and ironic and disgusting all in one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so she was on the, I don't know who this person is, she's on the Tamron Hall show.
Mm-hmm. The new Wendy Williams.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting. And I wanted to play some audio from our new friend Tess Holliday.
Professionally and personally, because you're dealing with this. It's not a secret. They noticed it, but it's not diagnosed. And the problem is there, but it's not. It's not been named.
It was extremely hard, but I had normalized it so much. I, you know, like you said earlier, when you have so many people saying things to you online, I'm tough as nails, but it gets to you. And
can you hold
you
it up to the camera?
I would be lying if I said that it didn't affect me. And so when I hear people saying all you do is eat and you eat, it's like you almost believe it, even though I know I'm not. So okay. It was extremely isolating.
She's not eating all the time.
I mean, she should have a conversation with Dr. Now.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Now versus Tess Holliday.
Why are you lying? I don't understand you.
Yes,
you say these things.
Yes,
Dr. Now
do.
Is, what's the show?
My 600-pound life.
My 600-pound life with Dr. Now. I've never watched that show, but I've watched clips of him on YouTube just roasting these little piglets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a good time. He's great. I would love, yeah. I mean, it's just, there's no way your body can do what hers is doing not engaging in a lot of caloric intake.
Right. There's no way she would have to have some, like, unheard of metabolic condition that would allow her to be that size and not overeat.
And that's what you're diagnosed with, not anorexia. You have some weird disease that makes you, like, you can just eat broccoli and gain a bunch of weight.
There are people with thyroid conditions, sure. And I've seen that happen, yeah. But it's very, very rare.
Absolutely.
It's very rare. And people make it seem like people have thyroid, like, issues, but you're not going to balloon like that.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing some damage on the cookies and the brownies.
It was lonely. And I will say that getting a diagnosis does feel wonderful, but it is extremely lonely. It's sometimes I really fight with the shame of it, which I think is the hardest part.
But how are you dealing with regaining your voice, your message, and the intention of the message that you wanted on Instagram, which is, this is my journey, and I know I'm not alone. How are you resetting this for you and to help other people who want to hear it?
I just take it day by day.
Bye.
Like today, I tried to feed myself. Didn't do that great. And
huh?
What? I mean, I'm sorry, but we're into this situation now where reality doesn't exist. You tried to feed yourself today and didn't do a great job?
Did she make the claim that she was anorexic, or did she say it at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't hear her say, I am anorexic.
She's been diagnosed.
Okay.
She's been it's even worse because a doctor diagnosed her with anorexia.
Well.
This is the thing. You can go to these doctors.
Dr. Dre, you know.
You can go to these doctors. I'm sure you'll find somebody. If she goes, hey, I need you, I'll give you $200. Just, you need to diagnose me. And you're like, oh, okay.
I mean, there's super woke doctors who is, that too. You know what I mean? And it's like you could be diagnosed by, and I don't want to say by a primary care physician, but like a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
say, well, in your mind, you're a girl, or in your mind, you're a boy, or right. in your mind, you're anorexic.
Yeah,
you can identify as an anorexic.
Yep.
So,
and that's where we're headed. And it gets more cartoonish mm-hmm. every day. We'll just finish up this clip. Yeah. I know you got to get going here.
Like one of your guests said earlier, I just try to be gentle with myself. I try to remind myself that how I'm feeling, if I'm having these bad feelings, is temporary. And I also take,
I wonder in that pause where she was not sure about what to do, what to say. I wonder if she's
about to cry. It sounded like,
I can't believe that I'm getting away with this. I can't believe that people are indulging me in this.
No,
like, maybe she's a really good, like, Andy Kaufman like figure.
No, I think she really believes it.
This is quite literally a joke. In fact, I was talking to Johnny B about it, where, you know, there's the t-shirt that fat people wear where they go, I beat anorexia.
It's a joke, right?
And it's a joke. It's a big fatso wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
It's funny. But this is like the life that she is claiming is her reality.
Yeah.
I take immense pride in the fact that I understand that I was given this platform originally for modeling. Not given, I busted my ass. Yeah. I don't know if I can say ass. I busted my butt to get here. But I feel immense gratitude and pride that I am able to sit here with you and talk about such hard things and know that there's somebody on the other side that feels less alone, that maybe says to themselves, I'm going to get help, asks for help, starts taking care of themselves in the way that they deserve. Because, you know, plus size or not, everybody deserves food. Everybody deserves to eat, you know?
Food is a human right. Healthcare and now food too. You don't deserve to eat. You could not eat. Like, she could not eat for a long time.
But who determines who deserves what? Is that?
It's just something they make up.
You know,
everybody deserves everything.
To eat. Of course, like if someone is saying you know keeping access from food from you, then that's not nice. But yeah, she could not eat for 6 months.
This is not real problems. This is what we get in a culture and a society when nobody has real problems. They're just made up things.
Yeah.
And they go, I deserve to eat. I'm 800 pounds, but I deserve to eat.
Yeah, but you have to understand this person, much like a lot of people in this country and elsewhere, they live in echo chambers. So everyone is telling them, You do have anorexia. You do have a problem. You are a queen. You're amazing. Health isn't determined by your body size. Like, all of these things just keep being repeated and repeated and repeated. And you would start to accept it as fact, and you don't question. And if you do question it, then you're part of the problem. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't wish for World War III. That would be terrible, you know, with the fallout of the nuclear weapons that would go off, et cetera, et cetera. But it would be nice for these people to have real problems for once in their life. While I would be suffering along with them, it would be nice to see them actually
have some perspective.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, of what the real world is like.
I agree.
Clearly, I don't want anything to happen to her, you know, but clearly she's not anorexic.
I'm no doctor, but I'm going to say probably not anorexic.
I would bet my life on it, the fact that she's not. You know, I know that, isn't she notorious for posing in workout clothes? And like,
yeah,
doing
and
like a video,
eating a cake without a plate, just the cake itself on a platter. Okay. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
Yeah,
it was one of the few things that would captivate me on the Instagram.
Wow,
is people eating, especially large people. So,
and she would do that and then work out and she'd be like, "I'm good. I did."
Yeah,
some
she's
squats.
Like, well, "I can do it too," and I'm like, "That trainer needs to go back to whatever training school, because the pressure on her knees when she's jumping from leg to leg, from limb to limb, that's like 500 cubic pounds of pressure per cubic inch, or whatever it's called. The PSI is unreal on those legs."
Yeah, no kidding. Well, she's got big ham hock legs. Maybe she can handle it.
Yeah.
813-693-2124 and hmbradio.com is where you can get in touch with the show. Please do subscribe on YouTube and like the Facebook page, HMB Radio. And keep up with us. It's fun, and we like it. And we'll see you hopefully on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. or right back here at Sunday evenings here on Radio St. Pete, or always on podcast at hmbradio.com. Please do give the podcast 5 stars. Tell a friend about it. That stuff really helps out. Very important, and we appreciate you doing that. And if you're feeling really generous, head over to hmbradio.com/donate. You can donate monetarily there. Tough times, tough times. All right, Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.